songs of Zion, dear Heavenly Father.
Radio.
And it's love and joy in our hearts, dear Heavenly Father, just to be here and serve you and say thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy, how you brought us through, dear Heavenly Father. We're just so grateful to you. Care our precious cousin, my little precious cousin, back home safely, Lord, this day, like they're believing tomorrow. Care them home safely, Father, and bring them back, dear Lord, safely. We're so thankful for them, dear Heavenly Father. Bless us all, Lord, to do your will. Be with the policeman, dear Heavenly Father, out on the way. Be with Brother Mans, dear Heavenly Father, down on the door, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for him, dear Lord God. We pray for the many requests, Lord, that went forth. Lord, I don't remember them all, but you know each one, dear Heavenly Father. We just leave it in your hands, dear Lord, to do the will, dear Heavenly Father, that you've set before us. Whatever your will for us in this life, dear Lord, we're willing to do whatever you ask us to do, dear Heavenly Father, to stand before you, Lord, and proclaim the blessed word of Jesus Christ. To all, Lord, to be bold, dear Heavenly Father, to those that don't know you, dear Lord, in the pardon of their sins, to tell them about Jesus. Let them know, Lord, that's the only way. And we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness this morning. Be with us, bless us, watch over us, Lord. We'll be so careful. If there's anybody I've forgotten, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you know it's not. And I meant to do that, Father. Amen. But you know each one of them, dear Heavenly Father. We pray the glory in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Thank you.
Lord. Before you to lift the morning offering.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for all that he has done. All that he provides for us. We never have to be in want. Because he sees to our needs. And he knows the things we will need tomorrow. We have to sing the song. I know he holds tomorrow. God, and he does, God does hold tomorrow. We don't even, you know, we don't know. Many cases what we're going to, you know, we have food in the
refrigerator. You have reached the voicemail box of
Charles
we don't
Lewis.
Know, and sometimes we don't. But we know that the Lord is able to provide. And for all that he has done. This is the fourth Sunday of the month. And so the special offering for today is for missions and for missionaries. So the usher in the center will receive that offering. I see Tatum's back there speaking to the ushers. Yeah, you're saying hi. You thank God for that. Amen, amen. We don't know, but that if Jesus should tarry, we don't know, but that one day take up the offering, or he may be standing in a pulpit preaching the word of God. We don't know how the Spirit of God will lead and what the power of God can do. So many of us now are doing things that God has placed us and has us doing that we never would have thought when we were young, never would have thought that we'd be doing what God has given us the privilege of doing in service to him. We thank God. The special offering for today is for missions, and the usher in the center received that offering for missions, and the ushers on either side receive your other tithes and all. Children, if you want to come in, come on in. You don't have to wait. Come on in. But I thank our children, I thank you for being respectful in that way.
Amen.
I thank you for that, being considerate. Amen. Amen. You want to instruct them and correct them if they need correction, and then praise them when they deserve the praise. And so we're giving you praise this morning. We thank you for being polite and considerate of the service. Thank you. Ushers, please come forward. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts, dear God, for truly it is a blessing to be here this morning, dear God. It is your gift, dear God. And so, Lord, we give you glory and praise and thanks, dear God, for just allowing us to be here today, dear God, and assembled in your name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have provided, dear God, for our needs. Lord, you know the things that we have need of. And, Lord, we thank you, dear God, because you do supply our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would receive these offerings, dear God, as we give, dear Father, our tithes and offerings in obedience to your divine word. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would use these offerings to your glory and to your honor. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would give wisdom for their use and for their disbursement, dear God. So truly, Lord, we want to have the mind of Christ, even, dear God, in the administration, Lord, of these offerings, dear God. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would multiply them as only you can, dear God. For, Lord, you have given us some instructions in your word, dear God, as to what is to be done. Lord, you said in your word, the poor you have with you always. And so, Lord, you've instructed us, dear God, to do good, dear God, to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. So, Lord, even as we, Lord, obey you, dear God, and feed the hungry, dear God, and help, dear God, the homeless, dear God, and try to give clothes, dear Father, to the naked, dear Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear God, to be about our Father's business.
Amen.
But first of all, lifting you up,
Amen.
Letting them know about you, dear God, and the free pardon of their sins, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be ambassadors, Lord, of your great salvation. Lord, help us, dear God, to be even ministers in our lives, dear God. We don't have to stand in a pulpit. About your goodness and how Jesus Christ was manifested to take away our sins. Lord, help us, dear God, to give, dear Father, that you have given us. Lord, you said in your word, freely we have received, freely give. Help us, dear God, to always remember, Lord, what you have instructed us to do. And Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would receive these offerings, dear God, and use them to your glory and to your honor. Lord, those that do not have to give, we know, Lord, that you're able to pour out a blessing, dear God, even instead, dear God. So, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless and have your way. Have your way in us, dear God. Help us, Lord, not only to give the monies, Lord, but also to give our time and our attention and our lives, dear God, and our strength, dear God, to thee, dear God. For, Lord, there are many ways that that you expect for us, dear God, to tithe, dear God, and it's not in money only, dear God. Lord, we pray that you would have your way, Lord, and bless, even in the furtherance of this service. We thank you, Lord, for the foregoing prayer, dear God, and how your spirit was manifested in that prayer, dear God. Lord, how the love for thee, dear God, was manifested in the prayer that Sister Carol rendered. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would receive these prayers as one, dear God. And pray, Lord, that you would get the glory from it all, for we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Bless her. Bless her. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Be in prayer with us as we come before you this morning. I looked this song up and saw it, and first thing come in my mind, I want Sister Maria to sing it with me.
Amen.
I haven't sang with her in quite a while.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows I see filled o'er,
matters as well. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. It is. That's a testimony. That's quite a testimony. It is well with my soul. The true test comes when it comes time to press a dying pillow.
Yes, ma'am.
You can say, it is well with my soul. What a comfort that is.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God for His Spirit ministering even in the song.
Amen.
Even in the song.
Amen.
Praise God. It is well with my soul. Sometimes
Amen.
There's another song we sing that says, is it, that asks the question, is it well with your soul? Are you free and made whole? If it's well, you'll thank God it's well with your soul. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for His goodness. Thank God for the song service.
Amen.
Thank God. It's been a while since I've heard Sister Maria sing. Thank God. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for that song. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carol.
Amen.
Thank God for you also. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This time we've been talking to the Lord in song and in prayer and praise. Now we want to hear what the Lord has to tell us. Amen. We want to sit and be attentive to hear what God is telling us. And I don't know if London is up here or London and Matthew, are they upstairs? Matthew, there we are. We want to make sure all of our children are here because we know that Mr. Jenkins wants them to listen and attentively as well. So we're going to look to the Lord on her behalf. We're going to pray that God will have His way in the service, in our speaker and in us, in our hearts as well.
Praise God.
Amen. We want our hearts to be a fertile place where God's word can be planted and grow. We don't want to have a heart that's stony ground or weed-filled ground. We don't want to be a wayside hearer. We want God's word to take root in our hearts and for us to live and grow in Him. So we're going to look to the Lord. We'll maybe stand for a word of prayer before the word goes forth. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your Spirit. We thank you, dear God, for preparing our hearts to hear the word of God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would anoint Minister Jenkins, dear God, as she stands before us to declare the whole gospel of Christ. We pray, dear God, that you would bless her and anoint her in your Spirit, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear Father, that she would pour out of her heart, dear God, what you have already placed in it, dear God. Lord, for the good of our souls, so we need your word in order to grow. We need your word, dear God, we know, Lord, that Satan will try to come and will try to shake us. But, dear God, we know, Lord, that by your word we can be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in thee. So, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would anoint Minister Jenkins, dear Father. Lord, we know, dear God, that you anointed her on last Lord's Day, but we know that past blessings will not suffice, for she needs your anointing today and now, dear God, as she stands to declare your word to us. And, Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word, dear God. It's just as vital, dear God, that as the preacher preaches the word, Lord, we have to be, dear God, there to hear and obey your word. So we pray, Lord, that you would bless us, dear God, and anoint us to hear and obey your eternal word. For we know, dear God, that we'll never who will hear and receive, dear God, and pray, Lord, that you would give grace, dear Father, that we would obey your word. Be not hearers only, but also doers of the word. Have your way in our hearts, dear God, and Help us, Lord, to be attentive, dear God, as we listen to your word that you have specially sent just for us this day. Lord, we ask it in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Minister Jenkins.
Good afternoon. Giving honor to God, the head of my life, to my companion. I thank God for you. Thank God for Sister Blake and everyone that's here today. I thank God for the song, It Is Well. It made me think about, you know, the song that, you know, it starts out, it says, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. If you're free, sing out. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah. Say, by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out. Show me the way. Thank God you're free today. Thank God it's good to be free. Free in the Lord. Thank God for his goodness. Amen. Thank God we were able to connect with Sister Summer. She is online with us. We thank God for her. Thank God for her faithfulness to hearing the word of God. You know, Sister Summer has told us if she wasn't there lying in the bed, she'd be in the house of the Lord. So we thank God for that and ask that you continue to pray for her and hold her up. Hold her up while she's there in the nursing home. I trust you have your Bibles with you today. As we look into the Word of God, a responsive reading was found in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I thank God for Sister Blake as she was doing the exhortation. I heard
the text now subscriber you were trying to reach is not available. Please leave your message after.
Thank God for his goodness. 1 Corinthians 15. We will go back there to get our subject from verse 10. Verse 10. Lord bless.
Amen.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am.
You have reached the voicemail box of
bestowed upon me
Charles
was
Lewis.
Not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The subject of the Lord grace of God.
Amen.
By the grace of God. Paul says, I am what I am. Paul at one time had persecuted the church of God. You see, the grace of God took a man zealous to persecute Christ and transformed him into a man zealous to preach Christ Jesus to the lost. Paul's testimony to you and I is but by the grace of God, he is what he is. And that is a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul got a late start and did not have the discipleship or the training that the other apostles did. But he traveled further. He established more churches than they did. He wrote more scriptures than all of them. But Paul attributed everything that he had done to his success to that of the grace of God.
Amen.
You see, what Jesus did to and for Paul on that road to Damascus, he has also done for you and I and all of those who are professing to be saved today. Paul's own admission, he said that he was guilty of breaking all the commandments of the Lord. The least of the apostles, that am not me. Church of God. Turn with me for a moment to 1 Timothy. And look what Paul says here in this scripture reading. First Timothy, the first chapter, starting with the 12th verse. Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer." He went on to say, "and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Paul said he was a blasphemer, meaning he had spoken evil of and slandered the name of Almighty God. Just like many of us did when we were out of the ark of safety, when we did not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Paul went on to say, as a persecutor and as injurious. He was an injurious man, meaning he was guilty of murder, hatred, and unspeakable acts of cruelty aimed at his fellow man. Paul was a sinful man, and he stood guilty before Almighty God. Schooled as a Pharisee, he was a tent maker by trade, but was most noted for his hatred of Christians. He believed the teachings of Jesus violated the Mosaic law, and zealous the first scriptural mention of Saul or Paul is found in Acts, the 7th chapter, and the 58th verse. He was a bystander watching his fellow Jews stone Stephen to death. As an aggressive persecutor of Christians in Jerusalem, Saul sought and received permission from the high priest to proceed to Damascus for the purpose of imprisoning more followers of Jesus Christ. Paul said that he did what he did out of ignorance. You Bible students know the story in Acts, the 9th chapter. See, Paul isn't making excuses. He is simply stating the fact. Paul did not understand the ramifications of his actions. He had rejected Jesus. He had rejected the gospel message of Jesus Christ. He was what you would call being in a state of blindness until Jesus came and opened his eyes. Paul's life mirrors that of yours and mine. According to the Bible, all lost sinners are blind to their condition. They're blind to their destiny. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them." Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, many are blind today because of the God of this world. Many are blind because the enemy of God does not want mankind to know about Almighty God. The enemy is doing everything he can to keep souls away from Almighty God. Those who are blind, the word of God says they are dead in trespasses and in sins. According to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Turn with me there for a moment. He said, "In you," meaning you and I, "has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You know, when we were out there in the world and we were serving the enemy, you and I were out there doing every sin that we were big enough to do. Many of us were out there. We may have drank, smoked. We may have cursed. We may have prostituted. We may have lived with someone. We may have done all those things. And we were out of the ark of safety of Almighty God. But I thank God one day, when Jesus Christ called our name,
amen,
he pulled us out of the miry clay and settled our feet in the straight and narrow way. All of us as children of God have had our Damascus Road experience, so to speak. All of us had to meet Almighty God. This is why we can say when we read here, and you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Each and every one of us were dead in sin, and God had to redeem us by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, where in time past, listen to what he said. All of us were out there in this world. All of us were out there in the world doing what we thought we were big enough to do. But I thank God for the grace of God that appeared to mankind. That when that grace appeared to you and I, we came out of the sin business and we are now children of Almighty God. He went on to say here, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We are living in a time right now where many believe that they are saved, but many are living a lifestyle that is not according to what the word of God says. Many will tell you that I'm a child of the King. Many will tell you things that, you know, I do this. I get up every day. I read my Bible. I go to church. But that doesn't make you saved because you go to church.
Amen.
It doesn't make you saved because you've read the entire Bible in a year. It doesn't make you saved because you get up and you say, I'm blessed and God has blessed me. The only way to come to salvation is what Jesus told Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter when he said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is the only way of salvation, is being born again, asking God to forgive you of your sin. But we're living in a time when that is not being taught to the masses. And many believe they're saved because a mama was saved years ago, or grandma used to preach the word of God. Or when I was a baby, I was sprinkled, or they took me up and I was baptized as a baby. But we know that baptism for babies is not according to the word of God.
Amen.
Because baptism is a symbol. And what is that symbol? It is a symbol that you are telling the world that you have died to that old man and you now have risen to a new life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A child can't tell you that. A baby can't tell you that. Tatum can't tell you that today. But I thank God for the truth of God's eternal word. He said, who also we all had our conversation in times past. He said, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh. And we've talked about being in the flesh before. He went on to say, and of the mind. And we're by the nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God,
amen,
who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. See, this was our condition at one time. None of us could see our condition or our need or our way out of our condition. We too have nothing in our past to brag about. At least I don't have anything in my past to brag about. Because all the things that I was doing out there, they were not according to the things of God. First of all, they would bring shame to God. They would bring shame to even myself. Knowing all the things that we were out there doing in the world, it is nothing to brag about. We were lost. We were undone before Almighty God. We were wicked to the core and deserving of hell. That is the way we were when God found you and I, until the Holy Spirit of God quickened us and pointed you and I to Jesus Christ. And that's why you and I can say today, praise God, that I thank God I am free. Thank God I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God, as Sister Beverly and Sister Maria were singing, it is well with my soul. You can only say it is well with your soul when you have made sure, made your peace calling and election sure with Almighty God.
Amen.
You know, because of God's amazing grace, you and I are able to be here this afternoon. We are able to say that we are children of God. Anyone who professes to be saved can truly say that we are not what we once were. And that was a slave to sin and to Satan. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that is a child of the King. And I am on my way home. My way home is in glory. I thank God that I don't have to worry about. And I thank God, I believe in my heart, you don't have to worry about. If death should come to any of us, that we are on our way home. We are on our way to glory. That's the crown that you and I have been working for. Yes, we may want to stay around and see our children and grandchildren grow up and great grands if God allows us to have them. But if God would call us home, then you and I are ready to meet our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
We won't have to run around and take care of business and clean up things. If you say to me, Sister Jenkins, I got to take care of something I haven't said, or I say settle it now, because you don't know when Jesus is going to call you home. And when God calls you home, you're not going to have any time to settle up anything.
Amen.
Just like not trying to make any fun of it. I believe it was about 3 days ago they came on and they said that John McCain was not going to take any more treatment. I believe it was. And then with last night, I was downstairs studying for this message, and I came upstairs and Maria said, Mom, John McCain has died. That's just how quick he was here and how quick he was gone. Life is not promised to any of you, or any of us, I should say. But God right now is offering salvation.
Amen.
The word of God says the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you are under the sound of my voice and you don't know Jesus, it is now high time for you to make it to the kingdom of God, to come to an altar of prayer. Oftentimes, we have many who are asking us, Sister, remember us in prayer. I have one that just constantly just remember, please hold us up in prayer. We're holding you up in prayer, but what are you doing?
That's right.
What are you doing about changing your life? What are you doing about coming to Almighty God?
Amen.
I thank God for the message on yesterday.
Amen.
I thank God for knowing the door is Jesus Christ. And knowing that God has given us the keys to the kingdom. You and I have the keys to be able to get in. We have the keys to open up the word of God to mankind. God has given each and every one of us an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. That is the keys to the kingdom of God, to open up the way for others to be able to come in. How many of us have shared with someone the good news about Jesus Christ? How many of us within the last month or so have spoken to someone and have said to someone, do you know my Jesus? Are you thinking about your soul? Where are you going to spend eternity? See, it doesn't have to be sitting in the house of God. It doesn't have to, as Sister said, only be here in these pews, but we've got a field out there that's so ripe. A harvest is waiting for us. We have a harvest on the fourth Saturday of every month that comes into this house of God, and they need to know our Lord and Savior. open up the service. I thank God how brother throughout the service lets them know that this food that we're giving you is natural. It is temporal. But the food that you need is that for your soul. Where are you? But when you get the word of God, you can be as the psalmist David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's what you'll do with the word of God. You'll hide it in your heart so that you'll be able to refresh yourself with the word of God. Situations. And you may not know which way to turn. You'll have the word of God within you. And the word, the Holy Spirit of God, will begin to use that word to speak to you and to show you the way in which you should go. Yes. How many of us have found that to be
Amen.
So?
Yes. Yes.
I found that to be so in Almighty God. I thank God for his goodness. Because when we consider what we were before being saved, by the amazing grace of God, we can truly thank God for his grace and God's mercy to you and I. You see, our hearts were just like Paul. We had enmity against God. We had enmity against God's people. Jeremiah 17:9 says, our heart was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Titus, the third chapter, and the third verse says, we were sometimes foolish, disobedient. We were being deceived. Turn with me there for a moment and look at what he says there. And this was Paul speaking to a young minister named Titus. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey mastery, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. You think about it, saints of God, when we were out there in the world and we were living it up, so to speak, so we thought we were too foolish. He goes on to say, we were disobedient. We were being deceived. We were serving divers lusts and pleasures. We were living in malice and envy. We were hateful and hating one another. But look what he says there in verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. You think about saints of God, what the word of God tells you and I. This is why he says in the word, you shall know them by their fruits. Because if someone says that they are saved and they still possess these characters, the work has not been done on them. And they need to come back and do their first work over. Because this right here is the old man. This is the old man that has not been crucified in Jesus Christ. He went on to say, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appear, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. See, you and I have done nothing to deserve our salvation.
Right.
It is by the grace and mercy of Almighty God. He said, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made what? Heirs, according to the hope of eternal life. Are you an heir this afternoon? Do you know whether you are an heir? So you know, if you're an heir, that means you're entitled to something. If you are then the Jenkins family, for example. So being a child of God, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. But if you are not a child, Don't let any man fool. Dying is going to heaven. That everybody that's dying is resting in peace. I said to someone yesterday, if everybody is going to heaven, why does the word of God speak about hell?
Mm-hmm.
And that hell has enlarged herself and opened herself without what measure? See, it doesn't say in the word of God that heaven has opened itself without measure or enlarged itself. Because my Bible tells me, and Jesus Christ said these words, few there be that what? Find it. There's only going to be few, saints. How many is few to God? Few is how many it is to Almighty God. But we can't count how many God has saved. But it's not going to be a crowd when we get to heaven. But the Bible says in the word of God that hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. That means there's going to be a lot of folks going to hell. And many that are dying, they don't know Jesus, they are going to hell. We're running around trying to grab up a whole bunch of people and make people believe that they're going to heaven. And many have never professed to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And this, the Holy Spirit is not telling us that we are judging anyone. We are going according to the word of God.
Amen.
Jesus said in the word of God that confession must be made with your mouth. If you've not confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's according to the word of God. And I thank God for the word of God. Because we're living in a time of confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. The devil will have people running around and believing that they're on their way home to heaven. And many are not on the road to heaven. Many are not on the highway of holiness. Many don't know where the highway of holiness exists. Many won't come out to our house of God. Many will lie and cheat and steal and do all manner of evil. And they will say that they are still a child of God. There are many who are preaching right now in pulpits. And they're telling people, God knows you can't help but sin. You are just a sinning Christian. There is no such thing. My Bible says, let no man deceive you. He that sinneth is of the devil. And the devil is not getting in heaven. That's what the word of God says. I thank God even on yesterday at the food pantry. I thank God for all the workers and all those who are praying for us that are not able to work. I thank God that we have some that come in. And they're very courteous about those that are behind them and not taking a whole bunch. But then we have some who just want to come in and try to, you know, sneak in their boxes and run out. But we had one there yesterday, and I've been sharing with Sister Blake even this morning about it. That was tattling, I shouldn't say it like that, but for lack of a better word, on some of the others who were taking extra because they were told they couldn't get it. But I thank God, even after it was done, we weren't running out the door chasing somebody to snatch food out of people's boxes. God didn't send us to do that. But I thank God you can run out the door all you want, but you still have to answer to Almighty God. My Bible tells me the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. The saints of God may not see it, may not know it, but Almighty God sees and knows everything. You think about if you go back in the Old Testament and you begin to read about David and all the things that David did, God saw it. All the others may not have known about it, but God saw it. And God sent him to him a prophet named Nathan. And the prophet Nathan said to David these words. He said, you did it in secret. See, to mankind it was in secret. But God is going to open it up. God exposed it out. Because, see, that's the God we serve. You can't hide from Almighty God. You can't do sin and come in and think to the saints of God, oh, I'm saved. But God sees what you're doing outside of here. God knows everything that's going on. I know we have been studying in our Sunday school lesson about the children of Israel. And you think about the children of Israel. I'm not for sure if we've already got to that point or not. I don't know if we're going on. But they got there after God had done all these things for them. And God told them all they had to do is go out and fight a little army named Ai. And they went out there and thought that they can destroy the army of Ai because they were more powerful than that army. But one thing they didn't know, and that was there was sin in the camp. But God knew that there was sin in the camp, and God did not bless them to destroy Ai. And Joshua came back, and Joshua fell down on the ground before Almighty God and crying out to God, and God told him, get up and search the camp. There's sin in the camp. You can't fool God with sin.
That's right.
We serve an all-seeing God.
Amen.
And God knows whether you are right or whether you are wrong. And I thank God for that. He said in the Word of God, you shall know them by their fruits. If you're professing or you're professing that you're saved and you have fruits of unrighteousness, God will expose that too.
Amen.
Thank God for his word. That is just how close the walk with Almighty God is. Thank God for his word. As God reminds us of the things. Paul said to young Timothy here in Titus, he as a young pastor on the Isle of Crete, he called on Titus to put them, he said, put who? The elders in mind about certain things. He wanted them to remember who we are in Jesus Christ, what we have in Jesus Christ, his son, and what God expects you and I as believers of Christ to do. Thank God for God's eternal word. And all the reminders that God has in the Word of God for you and I, so that you and I can understand that from the beginning of time, God has been pursuing his people. Yes, there are times we've read in the Word of God where God's people have been stubborn, but God has still been pursuing God's people. God has been good all the time. Even when some of us have not been good to God, God has been good to us. God has been faithful to us. But some of us may not have been faithful to Almighty God, but God has shown faithfulness to you and I. That while we were lost and hopeless and without God, the Word of God tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Also in Romans the 5th chapter, the Word of God says there in the 8th verse, this is the goodness of Almighty God. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is the goodness of Almighty God. When we were out there in sin and doing all manner of evil, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die that you and I might have a right to say. Just in that, because of what God did. Psalm 77:11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Verse 12, jump down to it, says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. You see, without God, as Mahalia Jackson sang, we could do nothing. Our lives would fail without God. our lives will be rugged. She said, like a ship without a sail. But I thank God for salvation today. Thank God, as the brother we said spoke on yesterday at the food pantry. He gave us the word of God. He gave us the keys of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
He told us about the door of opportunity. And not only did the brother tell us about the door of opportunity, then our dear brother Morgan says that God had dealt with him on Friday night to sing a song about the door being open. And God had opened up a door, but many had not come through that door. Jesus Christ says in the word of God back in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup. You've got to open up in order for Jesus to come in.
Amen.
Thank God that he's still standing there knocking. Thank God that the Spirit of God has not left you. Thank God that you still can hear the word of God. And it is peace calling an election sure with him. We may not understand everything, saints of God. We may not understand all the word of God. We may not understand why things are happening the way they are happening. But I'm like the poet, the song poet Andre Crouch, when he said, oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad God did what God did. Yet you see, God saved you and I because God loved us. Because God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Because of God's amazing grace. Because of God's mercy. You and I are what we are today. Nothing that we can boast about. But we are saved by the grace of Almighty God. And thank God for it. Because we deserve nothing but hell. But thank God for what he did for you and I. That God did not save us because you and I deserved it, but that the reason God saves sinners is found in the word mercy in verse 5. The phrase says that, but according to his mercy, he saved us. See, the word mercy speaks of God's kindness. The word mercy also speaks of God's goodness. How many have felt the goodness of Almighty God? How many have felt the kindness of Almighty God? See, if it had not been for the Lord's mercy, where would we be today?
Amen.
If it had not been for the Lord's mercy, where would you and I be today? I thank God, saints of God. I didn't say anything early on, but the Spirit of the Lord is bringing it to me right now. I was cooking dinner. And I was on the stove cooking. I have an electric stove. And I was there, and the aisle got hot. And as I was trying to turn chicken, a fire happened. My stove caught on fire. And so I yelled out to Maria, Sister Maria, I said, the stove's on fire, fire. And I'm, you know, trying to fan it. And she comes in, Mom, throw flour. So I'm throwing flour. And it's still not going out. So I'm yelling to Brother DeAndre, go out in the garage and get the fire extinguishers. Brother Tony wasn't there. Go get the fire extinguishers. And I'm fanning. Now we all run and run. They run outside, and I'm still in there trying to get this fire out. No one's paying attention to little Tatum. He's just walking all over the place. He's learning how to walk, so he's everywhere walking. But I thank God because Sister Maria and them got the fire extinguisher and came in, and, you know, them being in the airline industry, they know how to work them. And Sister Maria, she, you know, let the fire extinguisher go, and it took out the fire. Ruined the dinner, but took out the fire. And I thank God, and I said, you know, thank God our house didn't burn down.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God we didn't catch on fire or anything else happened. See, that's the goodness of God.
Amen.
Somebody look out and say, oh, no, you used the fire. No, it's the goodness of
Amen.
God.
Praise him in all things.
Because that fire could have just engulfed all the rest of that grease and the whole kitchen could have went up. But we thank God it was contained in one hour on the stove. And it was still coming. But I thank God for that.
Amen.
It's no little matter. Everything I thank God for. I know the devil, I told you, saints, is trying to take me out, but I'm staying. I thank God for it. I'm a praise God every time I get a chance to praise God. Whether I have to hobble in here or not, I'm going to praise God. I know God has something else in store for me. I know the enemy is trying to do his work on me, but I'm going to stand, saints of God, to the glory and honor of God. And I'm going to give him the praise when God deserves to be praised, because God is the one to put it out. God had Sister Maria and Brother DeAndre there at the house with me. And I thank God, because it could have been, I could have been there by myself cooking and that could have happened. But I thank God. Always thank God. Even for the littlest things, thank God for them. Truly God is worthy to be praised. But God's mercy, as we said, it speaks of his kindness, speaks of his goodness toward you and I. Because if it had not been for the Lord, where would we be today? Psalms 145:8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Psalms 103:8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Verse 10 lets us know that he has not dealt with you and I after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And we can say, praise be to Almighty God, because God didn't deal with us according to all the iniquities that we have done. If God had done that, who would be able to stand? We wouldn't be able to stand before Almighty God. But I thank God in all of his mercy and all of his grace. When God saved me, God saved me to the utmost. And I thank God for that. Because many of us, all of us, were out there in sin. We were doing all manner of evil, things that were against Almighty God. We were as Paul was. We were blasphemers. We were persecutors of the things of God. But I thank God, as Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am today. And you are what you are today because of God's grace and God's mercy. You see, if we would receive justice for our sins, all of us would be headed toward eternity. We would be, some of us may have been in the grave today if it had not been for a saint of God who was praying for us. If it had not been for a saint of God who invited us to come to the house of God to hear the word of God, some of us might be in our grave today. Some of us were on a road, on a pathway that was headed into some danger. But I thank God for the saints of God who were praying for us. Do you thank God for that? Many of them are dead and gone. Yeah. But I thank God when I hear that a dear sister, Esther Anderson, was praying for my family. I thank God that I'm here because Sister Anderson prayed for me. Sister Anderson is not here today to see it, but I thank God that she had us on her. Get a hold of some family. Get a hold of someone's life. We got to get a hold of this old world. There are many souls out there right now. They don't want to be out there in the world. They don't want to be doing the things that they are doing. I can't believe in my heart that some of them that are out there strung out on these drugs as they are, and strung out on liquor and all the various things, prostituting and various things they're doing, that this is what they want to do. I can't believe it, but I believe, saints of God, we have the power of prayer.
Amen. Amen.
And we can pray for these souls. He said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we can get a soul, saints of God, and begin to pray for them, that God will melt their heart, that stony heart down, and give them a heart of flesh, that God will be able to talk to them and to bring them to. All of us have someone in our family that we can take and begin to pray for. not only our family, but there's other families. Many of the families that come down to the food pantry, they need our prayers, saints of God.
Amen.
Oh, I thank God for his word. I praise God because we are what we are because of the grace of Almighty God. You see, if it had not been for the grace of God, as we said, where would we be today? If God's mercy and grace had not been extended to us, where would we be today? As we said, we would have, if we would have received the justice for the sins that you and I committed, we would be spending eternity in hell. But I thank God that God worked in our lives according to God's grace and God's mercy. You may say, what are you saying, Sister Renee? In God's mercy, God does not give us what we deserve. In his grace, he gives us what we do not deserve. God's mercy is nothing but an extension of God's grace. Can we truly say that we are living each day by the grace of Almighty God? Do you believe that? Do you believe it's by the mercies of God that have been presented to you that you are able to rise this morning, that you're able to do the things that you're doing? If you believe that today, then you believe that by the grace of God, your salvation exists.
Amen.
See, if it had not been for God's grace, where would we be today? Let us take time always to remind ourselves of what God has done, what God is doing, and trust and believe that what God can do. Yes, we have loved ones who are sick. We have loved ones who are suffering right now. And we know God is able to touch and God is able to heal. But we've got to stand on the truth of God's eternal word. And we've got to let them be. We have to put them in the hands of Almighty God and ask God, what would you have for their lives? What would you have for them to do? Same thing with our children, saints of God. Our children are going to school. Some of them downstairs were saying to us, I believe they returned on Monday. Some returned last week. Those that were in the Sunday school class. They need our prayers. They need you and I to be praying. If you say, I don't have anyone to pray for our children. Pray that God will be with them at school. Pray that God will protect them and keep them from the snares and pitfalls of Satan and from the evilness of this day and time. Our children need that, saints of God. Of John McCain. And then we went over to the news. They were showing a young man who was getting ready. He wanted to commit suicide. Suicide is big in our society today. Many feel it's a way out. They feel that if I commit suicide, then all of this stuff in this life is over with. But that's just the beginning of their sorrow.
That's right.
Because when you commit suicide, you are separating yourself from God. You're taking your own life. You're saying to God that my life is not worth what you're saying it is. That God created us. And God created us in his image. And everything that God did, he said was good. And God created us to be good. God created us as human beings. He breathed into mankind the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And to take this life is not ours to do. It is not up to us to go out and to say, I'm going to take my life and to end it. We need to be praying for souls to be saved. The souls to have an understanding about God's work and how God works in mankind. Turn to 1 John, the 4th chapter. Let us look at God's goodness and look at what God has done for us. 1 John 4, 9 says, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Do you believe you're living through Jesus Christ? He went on to say, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. See, God loved us first. God is love. How is God love? God so loved the world, he gave. He gave his son when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. God went down there and God went in. Yes, God asked him, Adam, where art thou? And Adam answered God. God knew exactly where he was, but God wanted him to answer him. Why? Because God had given Adam a command. He said, of this tree here, thou shalt not eat, but of the trees in the garden you may freely eat. And the enemy began to entice them and let them to see something totally different than what God wanted them to see. And then the enemy began to try to impress upon them that God Almighty was lying to them. My God is not a liar. If God says don't touch it, don't touch it. If God says don't do it, don't do it. Our children need to learn that. They're spiking all kinds of things with drugs. They're doing all kinds of things right now that we were looking at the news the other day, and vanilla wafers are now some type of drug in with the new drug that they have out where you can have marijuana. They've got packaging that looks like the vanilla wafer packaging. That is nothing but the enemy. And our children are getting a hold of these things. Brownies aren't brownies anymore. Be careful when you go to your job. Someone may slide in some kind, inject some kind of pot into the brownies. You got to be careful about everything you do, saints of God, today. Why? Because the enemy is busy. What does the word of God say? He says the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. The enemy is all over. He is in every place. He's doing all manner of evil, searching out souls, telling young people, you can take this crack cocaine and you can reach heights that you've never reached. And many of them have taken it and many of them are dead today. He is telling them, all you have to do is go and take this drug and you'll be okay. And many of them are taking it and they are dead today. He tells them, all you have to do is go and sniff or huff this can of something and you can get a high that'll take you higher than the sky, and many are dead today because of it.
Right.
That's the time in which we are living. A deceitful time. A time where we have to tell them the truth about God's word.
Amen.
Not a lie, but the truth of what the word of God says. Thank God for his word. You see, our salvation that we had today came as a direct result of God's grace to us through his mercy and love for us. In order for us to be justified, it means to be rendered righteous in the eyes of Almighty God. It speaks of what God did for you and I. See, it's not about what you and I've done, but it's what God has done for you and I when we got saved, when we are justified by God. Our record, and praise God for that, our record of sin has been blotted out. It is forever banished from the memory of Almighty God. If it's as if you and I have never sinned, what are you saying, Sister Renee? Jeremiah 31:34 says, for I will give their iniquity, will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Isaiah 44:22 says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Praise God that God will remember them no more. Mankind may remember them, but God will not remember them. Hebrews 10:16 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Thank God for his word. Allow God to put it in your heart. Allow God to have it in your mind. This is why Paul said in the word of God in Romans, the 12th chapter, when he was talking there to the brethren. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He said, by the mercies of God, that you do what? You present these bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He went on to say, and be not conformed in this world, but be ye what? Transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Your mindset when you come to God has to be renewed.
Amen.
Your heart has to be changed.
Amen.
Your heart is the center of life. That's what David said in the Word of God. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life. Protect your heart. Make sure your heart has been changed. And when it's changed, you will do the things that God would have for you to do.
Amen.
You're not want to run after this world. Oh, I've not found that I want to run after this world. I know after I first got saved, and I say to our new convert, oh, the enemy is busy. We all can tell you that. He's still busy with us today, too. He's trying. But when you first get saved, the enemy begins to flood your mind and begins to try to talk to you and say to you, well, what did you do? Do you know why you're saved? They say these things. But you need to rebuke this. You need to rebuke Satan. Tell him to get behind you. All of us have had to do it. All of us have had to say to Satan, get behind me. I don't live for you no more. I live for Almighty God now. You know, Satan will try to present stuff just like he did back in the garden. He'll try to present stuff to you. He'll try to get you to see things his way. He'll try to get you to see something against Almighty God. But I thank God. I know who woke me up this morning.
Amen.
I remember always who wakes me up. I'm not going to sin against my God. See, I was once a sinner, but now I'm saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And I'm running for the Lord. I'm not turning back. I'm not looking to go back out into the world. He said, he that set up his hand to the plow and looketh back, you're not fit for God's kingdom. Don't look to go back in the world. God brought you out of that world. Paul said in the Word of God, he said, if I rebuild those things which I've destroyed, he said, I myself am a transgressor. Don't go back and rebuild those things that you've destroyed. God, you're free from that lifestyle. Thank God you're a child of the King. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of God. Don't be ashamed to tell somebody, I'm a child of God.
Amen.
Someone asked you out there on the world, that's a testimony to what God has done. You can say, that's what you can say, as Paul said in our scripture reading, I am what I am by the grace of God. I thank God. I used to persecute the saints of God, but now I'm a child of the King. That's what we are today. Thank God for that. Yes, we were out there in the world doing all manner of evil, doing all manner of sin. But I thank God for salvation today.
Amen.
I thank God for real salvation. I thank God for the ministry that preached the Word of God to us and told us how we had to live for God. That we couldn't walk around and sing in songs if I could just make it in. No, you need to know whether you're going to make it in or not. This is a no-soul salvation. What are you saying, Sister Renee? No-soul, because you know whether you are living right according to the Word of God. You have 66, as Brother said yesterday, 66 books of the Bible. And these Word of God tells us that all these books, all scripture is given by what? The inspiration of God, meaning everything was inspired by God. God used holy men of God to write the Word of God. Don't go in and say, well, some man wrote it. No, they were holy men of God. They wrote the Word of God as they were spoke to by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's important to know. Not just anyone wrote this book, but holy men wrote it. It's inspired by Almighty God. And we are told in the Word of God that it's what? Profitable. What is it profitable? For reproof, for correction, for what? Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Thoroughly furnished unto. It's not just for us to come by and say, Sister Jenkins or Sister whoever, I've read the entire Bible in a year. I've read the entire Bible through 10 times. If you have, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's not about reading the Bible. It's about knowing where you fit into the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen.
It's about using the Word of God to help you to know where you stand with God. That's what Jesus said in the Word of God. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus said over in John, he said, if you believe that you are saved, he said, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that what? Testify of me.
Amen.
See, the word of God testifies of Jesus Christ. It's not about sitting down and saying, I'm just going to read through the Bible. We can read through a lot of things and not have the understanding of what
Amen.
God wants us to have.
Amen.
He said in the word of God, my people err because of what? Lack of knowledge. We got to get to know what God wants for us. We got to get to know that the reason why we are serving God. Get to know why we love the Lord. Let the world know why we are the church of God. Because we are different. We are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. We are the church that others flow into. We don't come down, but they have to come up to the church of God.
Amen.
That's when we're standing on the mountaintop. I thank God for it. We are the one that we are the Word of God. We are the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God, I should say. And the Word of God is with us. We are the church of God.
Yeah.
This is just the house of God we come to. But you and I are the church of God. We are what we read. We are what we study. We are what we meditate.
Amen.
And that is the Word of God. Yes, we should look different from the world. Yes, we should talk different from the world. Yes, we don't go where the world goes. Yes, we love God. And we love His Word. And it doesn't matter to us about staying in the house of God. Because where else do we have to be? Where else would we rather be but be in God's house? There are many things that are happening, but I thank God we're in the house of God today. We're able to be here. You see, it wasn't, as we said, our works that produce salvation, but it was the grace of Almighty God. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, grace is God's unmerited favor. His gift of salvation was one of pure love, meaning only by God's grace do we get what we don't deserve, and that is heaven. And only by His mercy do we avoid getting what we deserve, and that is hell. And I thank God for it. See, God's gift of salvation to us is free, but it cost God His only begotten Son, that He allowed His Son to die for you and I. The Word of God, you know, we've read it many times before in Isaiah, where it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him for you and I. And when you think of what He went through for you and I, and you think about how He agonized, it should draw us closer to the cross, draw us closer to living for Almighty God, not trying to get farther away or see how close you and I can get to sin, but how far we can get away and stay away from those things. I thank God for that. You see, on Calvary's cross, Christ became the final sacrifice for our sin. He became the only sacrifice for our sin. He paid for our salvation with His blood. He was the only one, the Word of God tells us, that was worthy to go to the cross for our sin, to die for our sin. Every person that's born into this world right now comes in as a sinner. They're born in sin. That's what the Word of God says, and shapen in iniquity. Believe what the Word of God says. It's there in the Word of God. Why? Because that nature came from Adam. Adam was the first man. He sinned. and it passed upon all mankind. But I thank God that God didn't just leave us in sin. Thank God he didn't just leave us in sin. But God made a way for you and I to come out of the sin business. And God is still making a way for mankind to come out of the sin business. Jesus is still saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, mankind has got to want to do it in order for it to come to them. God has offered it, but you've got to be willing to take what God has offered. Sin is a cruel master. Most all of us have found it to be so. Many of us today are reaping some of the things that we did when we were out there in sin. It might be financial things. It may be our health. It may be some other things that we have to go through that took place when we were out there in sin. We were enslaved to sin. We were enslaved to all the things that sin would, you know, could offer us. You and I were enslaved to it. But once again, we can say thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And that gift was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His death paid the price for our redemption. And I thank God. His death on that cross liberated you and I. His death on that cross set you and I free. His death on that cross unshackled us. That when we were tied to sin, he came in there and untackled us. And I thank God for it. How many of us thank God today that you were saved by the grace of God? That you've been set free by the grace of God. Galatians 1:3 says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Thank God he can deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We don't want to be entangled with the things out there in the world again. We've been set free by the grace of God. Colossians 1:13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 2:14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Thank God for being free. See, when Jesus Christ died in our place on the cross, he redeemed us from our sins. He shed his blood to satisfy God's payment or God's demand for our sin. He accomplished everything that was necessary to secure our freedom. Praise God for that. Everything that Jesus did, he did it for you and I. He's not coming to die again. He died only once. And when he died once, that was enough to satisfy with God the Father the debt that we owe for sin. If you want to read about it, I ask that you go over in your leisure and read Hebrews 9. I believe you can start with the 8th chapter of Hebrews and read all the way through 10. And it talks about the one sacrifice. You see, under the Old Testament, and you Bible students know the story of the Old Testament. You know, they had to go in and offer up on an annual basis for the people. But the blood of Jesus Christ was offered once. The Word of God says, and that once was enough to secure the debt that was owed. We don't have to, you don't have to go in every year and ask God to forgive you. It only takes one.
and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. But if you decide after you've gone in and you've been living for the Lord for many years, you decide that now you want to go back into the sin business, that opportunity at that time, that once you went in and asked God to save, it doesn't last that way. You have to come back and do your first works over again with Almighty God. But another devil through the ministry to tell you that you are sealed for the rest of your life. You can break that sealing. You can come in and sin. Jesus is not going anywhere. He's still standing in the same spot. But if you decide that you're going to go out and get back into the sin business and live your life the way you want to live it, that you're no longer saved. You are no longer under the blood of Jesus Christ. And if Christ will call you home, you will not spend eternity with him in heaven. But the masses will tell you, once saved, always saved. But that's not according to the word of God. That's not according to the word of God. Let us be very careful as we live for the Lord. Let us live so that we know that when this life is over, that we are on our way home, on our way home to the kingdom of God. God has taken care of that debt, and all God is asking for you and I to do is to live so that we might be